Well, welcome into another Victory Monday on the Dan Quinn Coaches Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As always, great to be with Dave Archer and the Falcon head coach Dan Quinn. Jalen Collins is going to join us in our player spotlight.
Been pretty good this year.
Later on, I'd say so. And, Coach, congratulations. You guys took the step, closed the dome in high style, and on you go to Houston now.
Could not have think of a better way to close out the Georgia Dome. The fans totally rocked it. So they have for 25 years, and I couldn't imagine being any louder than it was yesterday.
Yeah, what a cool scene, Dan, to be there as a fan, I would imagine. I had a chance to be on the dome floor and everything coming down out of it. This is a city that's been starved for those moments, for it to be at home and have an opportunity to witness that. I know you felt that.
Yeah, we were so pumped to be a part of it. We challenged them. We wanted to bring the energy and bring the juice, and they 100% did. So for that, the team and all of us, man, are we appreciative of that. We feel their energy, and we're hopeful that we see a lot of black and red down in Houston in 2 weeks.
So what has the last almost 24 hours been like for Dan Quinn?
After the game, it was such an exciting time for all of us, that I thought, number one, for Arthur, for a guy who's done so much for the city, both on and off the field, to share that moment with him. And then in the locker room, it was good with the team. There was the appropriate amount of excitement, but what I wanted them to feel was that we're one step closer. And so, you know, winning the NFC Championship's a really cool feeling, and you enjoy it together because of this brotherhood they have. And then now today the process starts to begin again, and to see how ready we can get. And we'll do the good bulk of our work here in town this week.
Yeah, it's fun. I'm fortunate enough to get a chance to be in the locker room as you address the team and how the team handles it. And you mentioned in your press conference here today that there's the appropriate amount of appreciation for the win, yet they know they still have a task at hand. And frankly, being fortunate, like I said, to be in since day one, every first game all the way to the end, it was the same type of, hey, we won a game, we emptied the bucket out, as you've talked about, yep. We got it done. And it was appropriate, but they realized it was another task at hand.
And that's the one that you want to go really celebrate. And enjoying it together, which these guys totally have this connection. You've seen it, Arch, of the love they have for one another, how hard they want to play for one another. So it was good to see them celebrate. But then afterwards, knowing, okay, there's another opportunity out here, and we can't wait to for that opportunity.
It was such a sledgehammer move in the first half by your team, really on both sides of the ball. I mean, 24-0, then 31-0 just does not happen in this league. And for it to go that way, how did you walk through this game? Because you were dynamic on both sides of the ball, and to a degree dynamic in special teams as well.
The speed was the factor today. You know, we really felt like we had our legs going, and the explosive plays were the difference. Offensively, I think there ended up being 10 or 11 explosive plays, and that part, that's a real factor when you're able to get chunks, big chunks of plays, and then playing well on third down on both sides of the ball really had a difference in the game.
I thought that something that stuck out for me, Dan, from difference from week 8, and you kind of got to it in that game, was that it was an all-day fight in this one, where you might have been willing to give them a little bit during that first half of that first game in week 8, and then you sucked it down and said, uh-uh, no more in the second half. It started that way. It was an all-day fight for them all day.
One of the terms that we use is arrive violently. And it's honestly, it's the way that you come off the ball, and it's the way that you run your routes. It's the way that you try to go into your combination blocks. It's the way that you tackle. And that term has been a good one for us. It's some people may say start fast or however the term is, but having a mindset to be aggressive right from the beginning, I think that's been an important change for us.
Well, the Falcons winning 44-21 yesterday at the Georgia Dome, and a couple of postseason stats. Number one, you're plus +4 takeaway giveaway. I mean, that obviously served you well at the end of the regular season. It's been very good to you here in the postseason.
For teams that have been in the playoffs that are in the plus, we're undefeated. So that was from last year, and that's this year as well. So we talk about the importance of the football, and I think it's really been heightened here in the playoffs. When you see the teams that are in the plus are winning, it'll be a factor again in our next game.
Yeah, I think that if you looked at the numbers for the regular season, 4 of the top 6 were the final 4 going in. And, of course, if you get it done in that game,
it's an easy stat to talk about, but it's a team stat, and it's a tough one to get done, because owning the football is one thing, and then creating takeaways, it's a real balance. So it's some teams could have a good job of creating them and not taking it. So to have the whole team have the awareness for it, it's a very important part.
And I'm not original enough to have thought of this. I was asked this last night and didn't have an answer. And I said, well, you know what? I'll spend time with the coach. I'll ask him.
The guy knows the answer.
Aaron Rodgers never seemed comfortable in the ball game. Yes, he threw three touchdowns in the second half. Defensively, though, it seemed you were at least checking him and keeping him off balance. Whether it looked like it or not, it seemed that way in the ball game.
Any good quarterback that you play, this one to our right and your left included, if you can move him and try to hit him, it's going to make a factor.
Okay.
We weren't able to do it as often as we'd like, but I was pleased in terms of, you know, our hits on the quarterback, the different looks that we could try to create just to make it uncomfortable. And having the ability to change defensive linemen, more rushers, add some pressure into it, for sure that was a factor.
Dan Quinn, coach's show here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Q, can you quantify what Julio Jones – I mean, all the superlatives you try to use with the guy. But I think that it's fun to listen to you talk about the things that I don't think people think about, how he affects coverage when he doesn't get the ball,
right,
when he blocks in the run game. Talk about that.
Those are the things that don't show up in the stat sheet that we as coaches and his teammates certainly see, because it just speaks of his toughness. And there's so often that there's a double team onto him that maybe Mac goes to a different side. I think there was about eight different guys that caught passes yesterday. So
right,
as talented and as good as he is when he has the ball in his hands, he's equally as talented when it's not, because he's still running his route full speed. He's still going to get the right person and block and try and finish. So with him, it is an all-day fight, and he's a tough draw.
When you saw the catch over the middle, he's interfered with on the catch. He gets upended on. I've seen a lot of football. I know you've seen a ton of football. One of the better catches I've ever seen.
And we call that having his pop-up game in order. So he was up before the defender. So that's what we showed today in the team meeting. The catch was terrific. And then knowing that as he landed, you know, upside down, he wanted to be the first one to get up. And that's the kind of toughness that doesn't show up on a stat sheet.
I said during the broadcast, I hope we all have turf toe. I mean, my goodness, coach.
Yeah.
I mean, he said during the week, I want to play the game. I mean, I understand I've been dealing with it a long time. You got to have great respect for a guy that's probably not been 100% physically now for, what, 8 weeks,
for
6 weeks?
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, here he is, and the ball game goes on the line Sunday, and he wants to be the man.
His resiliency is really strong, and he just – you trust him, because he's, I'll get through it and I'll be ready. And sure enough, he always answers. And the only time I hadn't, when he wasn't able to play, I knew it early enough that we could make the decision for him, because otherwise he'll go.
Have you ever been around, and you have, because Russell Wilson is the same kind of guy, that just go about your business. Superstar players now, Julio Jones, Matt Ryan, guys that are recognized across the country. There's other really good players on your team, but guys that are nationally recognized that are as humble and as team-oriented as those guys are.
That's what makes it go, and that's what makes our brotherhood so strong, because when they come in, you should see the work that they do. When we come into the building, everybody has the same 8 hours that is given to them. So what's going to happen in that time? What's the work level? What's the intensity going to be at? Because we all have the same amount of time. So if you would imagine what Matt Ryan can do in those 8 hours, you'd be really impressed by the amount of work that he puts in the classroom, on the field. He's out early to get into his warm-up. He finds, you know, in time in between practice to work individual technique, post-practice, on some of the practice film. So in that block of time, he totally commits all his energy, all his effort to his improvement, and he's playing for somebody bigger than himself. That's pretty easy to rub off and say, well, I better get my game in order, because this guy right here is doing it too, and same with Julio.
You know, it's interesting. We've talked about veteran impact on the team, maybe year to year, even some degree veteran impact on the franchise. Arch and I have referenced Tony Gonzalez on Julio Jones, and to a degree, I guess, Joe Horn years ago on Roddy White type.
Oh, about Julio Jones's effect on Devontae Freeman.
That's the one I was getting to. The younger guys on this team, seeing Ryan, Jones, Freeney, who you talked about today in your press comments, those guys, Babineau, 12-year guy.
Yep.
I mean, their impact on this particular team right now has been substantive.
It's very strong. And you'll be able to recognize this. It doesn't even have to be on the same side of the ball. And if you're a defensive lineman, but you see how hard a running back works, or a quarterback or a receiver, you have such respect for that person, or it could be, you know, an offensive lineman to a defensive lineman. It doesn't even have to be at your position. If that person has his game really in order and is, you know, totally maxing it out, teammates recognize it, and players are very perceptive. way more than most people. They know what's good and what's not. They have a very good radar detector, we'll call it. And so having models like Matt, like Who, like Babs, and then even for the Keanu Neals and, you know, Campbells of the world, to see a Ricardo Allen, to see Julio, to see Jacob Tammy, and to see there's another level I can go to. And then they take their game up a spot. And that's how we're trying to build the whole thing, from everyone building it up to say, let's all be at our best.
Q, I think it was neat in the locker room yesterday to see Shelby, Kamal Ishmael, guys that have gone at AC, Adrian Claiborne.
Yep.
I made a point of going by and saying, hey, they're here because, and I know other guys are doing it too, the players, and that's part of your brotherhood, that we're here because of you guys too. And I thought they really, it was neat to see them enjoy the moment too. That's hard when you're
hurt.
It
is hard.
You know, be a part of it.
And but they have such love for the guys that are there that they know, as hard as it is for me, I want to make sure I'm 100% going to give them my support. And it's out of their control being injured at this point. So now best thing you can do is be so happy for them and help in whatever way you can. And each of them have their own role in how to help. Jacob Tammy's role of how to help is different from Spoon, which is different from Trufant's, but they all have their way.
That's a big deal. It doesn't seem like much, but it's huge.
It's a big deal.
Yeah. All right, come back more with Coach Quinn. Falcons are going to the Super Bowl a week from Sunday to meet the New England Patriots. An early 30,000-foot version of the Pats. We'll talk a little bit about Tom Brady and Coach Belichick and that fine ball club. And we'll also
Who's coaching
talk
that team? Who's coaching that
that's
team?
Bill Belichick. Belichick. I've been there a few years. Right. I'll just bring you up to date on that. And then we'll talk about the process, not the process of getting ready this week, because that's going to happen, but then the change in the weeks. We'll do that more with Coach Quinn after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Okay, you're going to the Super Bowl. For you, third time in 4 years you've been able to go through this process. So what do you tell your team about this two-week period? Because I've read and heard stories pre-script, post-script, that, you know, if you don't handle these 2 weeks the right way, it can be your undoing when you get to the ball game if you're not careful. So how do you build your formula to be victorious?
Number one, just wanted to give them some real keys. And having some experience at it, these are some of the things that could jam you up. So just like we do in everything else, we'd rather be up front and talk about them.
Right.
And what's jammed people up in the past and have some pitfalls for that. We also recognize that the game is not the reward. Winning the game is. And so oftentimes there could be some, hey, congrats. No, this gives you the next opportunity. And so having that mindset exactly like you want it to be, you do the bulk of your work right before you go. There's so much game planning that goes into it. And then the next week, there's a good bit of media that you have to do prior to the second week beginning. And then you get right back into the flow of it. So there's a real routine that we do to get ready. And it's an important one, and one that our team has a real appreciation for. So stay true to that routine.
Dan, this is such an obscure type of media collection that come to these games that a lot of times guys that don't ever get talked to, you know, Josh Harris, people like that that should be talked to because they play really well and they're pretty good at their position, but don't get the media attention. All of a sudden, those guys are getting talked to. And is there a little extra time spent? Hey, by the way, you're probably going to get pulled aside and get talked to. How do you handle that?
And honestly, like most things, we like to have fun with it. And knowing that it's a big game, really, to say we have a real message about our team. We know our identity so clearly. We know what we stand for. We even have a standard that we hold one another accountable to. So past that, you don't have to get into your personal life and your life story. It's just so much fun to share, you know, the moment with everyone else and knowing that all your other teammates, you support them so much. So on our team, the nice part is you don't have to worry about yourself so much because you have all the support.
That almost falls back into the whole concept of what brotherhood's about, doesn't it?
It does. And just knowing that I'm right here with these guys, I'm ready to go battle for it. So honestly, enjoy it, have fun with it, don't get stressed out over it. It's not, you know, something that's worth being stressed on. So all your time and focus should be really spent getting ready, and that's where it stands.
Realizing that all your preparation has been dedicated towards Green Bay, and you emptied your bucket out yesterday, and so now just preliminarily starting to get ready for Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and the like with New England, a little thumbnail on them. It's a defense I know you got a ton of respect for. Obviously,
you
respect the guy that throws the ball for him.
And honestly, they've been a model, you know, for consistency and playing really well through the years. And so all of us, you know, look to them and know how well they've done it. Certainly offensively, you know, the different things that they can do, they've got a big playbook. They know how to attack it both in the run game and throwing it. They use a variety of different ways, big tight end packages, no tight end packages. How do they feature the running backs? And then defensively, they've been multiple for years, and they're able to slide in out of different fronts, use different coverages, and they've been just rock solid on team. So a lot of the same formula that they've had to play really well is that consistency and playing well week in and week out, and something we've strived to do ourselves.
You mentioned earlier this afternoon in talking to the media a little bit about you thought this team might be turning after the loss to Kansas City when you went to L.A. and won, came back and beat San Francisco. How do you get a feel for that? I know they won the games, but there's got to be a little bit more than just winning and losing.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was a pivotal time for us to know that how do you come back from difficult times? Mm-hmm. And you better have something to fall back on, a standard, a brotherhood, to know that there's going to be adversity along the way. It's going to be hard. And when those moments show up, how do you respond to them? And I thought that's what I thought was a pivotal time for us. And when we responded like we did, it was exactly what I'd hoped to see. And after that, you know, okay, how do you deal with success? And it was exactly what I'd hoped we'd see. So I thought it was a pivotal time. And I thought, okay, maybe a shift took place. And then I saw it, and it got a little better. And then, sure enough, another one took place. You know, I thought during our preparation prior to Seattle, and another one this weekend. They don't have to be big, but just small shifts when you're trying to get a little bit better and a little bit better. The ceiling's close. How do I get up through to that next spot? And I think that was one of the times that I felt the strongest movement after our loss to Kansas City.
You've talked so much about getting 1% better when you get your opportunity. Today you get 1% better. You know more than you did after you watched the tape or whatever it is.
Yep.
Is that a byproduct of saying, okay, something attainable every day to look forward to do? Yeah, I mean, sometimes
yes.
We set the ceiling so high that maybe the goal's not reachable.
And why not go for it? Yeah, I want to get my footwork a little better. I want to get my hand placement, how I catch it, you know, my balance and the way that I throw. Those are small things that if you put the right amount of attention on it, that part of your game can get better. And that's why we so fully believe in practice here. And we feel like that's the spot that we get better. So out here on these fields that we work, that's where our team is made. And we get to play on Sunday, but all the work that we put in out on the field, we can't wait to get on the field on Sunday because we put the work in during the week.
That's such a cool lesson that I use some of that stuff when I talk to my kids. I mean, listen, and I know you're not trying to resonate, you know, socially and all that kind of stuff. You're just trying to get your team ready to play. But, I mean, when you think about that, I mean, can you get 1% better today? Mm-hmm. Make an effort to try to get do something better today.
Well, Dave and I were asked, and we
– pretty cool.
Know, I guess, for lack of a better – you know, we've done a lot of radio interviews in the last couple of weeks around the country talking about your team and playing last week and certainly more to come here in the next couple. I always told folks that I believe the culture you built here is process Monday through Friday.
Yep.
That's where you essentially can win the ball game.
I totally agree.
Where did that build from?
It was probably just a culmination of things through the years, but having that understanding that if you and I really work hard against one another to get ready, mm-hmm. when the game comes, man, it's just like we did it in practice. And so having that ability to fall back on and train it, and I want to try something different here in practice. I'd rather not make up stuff during the game, you know. So if we're going to try a new technique or a new route or a new play, we're going to practice it. And, all right, is it ready yet? No, it's not ready. Let's try it another week. And then we practice it again. Sometimes we'll try a play and we don't run it for 3 or 4 weeks in practice. I mean, we run it for practice for 3 or 4 weeks. We don't run it in a game mm-hmm. until we feel more comfortable. We know how it looks, how it feels, where the problems are, what could jam us up. And those little tweaks, then when we get to that play, it's generally ready. We put the work in on it. And I love the fact that in our sport and in our game, guys can work so hard against one another. And honestly, it's done to help them play better. And that's like real humility.
It's the Falcon Coaches Show here with head coach Dan Quinn here on Sports Radio 92.9 A Game. Hugh, how far do you go back in tape? And some have said, oh, you watch all 16 games and all the postseason games, and I guess you probably comb all that. How do you decide what you're going to look at in this short amount of time to get ready for New England?
The first things you look at, you do look recently and see what has changed, you know, from now to middle of the season to beginning of the season, And those are where I start and see what has changed in their lineup, you know, from week to week, or if there's anything to go back to. So where are the matchups? What do you look for? And then as you go through and you start taking your notes, you know, issue plays, issue players, and on both sides of the ball and in teams, that's where the process begins. And then so that's what tonight is and tomorrow. And then we get the first phase of the game plan underway on Wednesday with the guys.
Interesting, from just a schematic standpoint, you talked about the varying formations, both sides of the ball.
Yep.
Looking through their roster, unbelievable number of backs. I mean, they got six different running backs. They got seven different wide receivers, only two tight ends.
Yep. They've used different guys with different versatility. And just like any team, they've had a tight end that's gone down. We have two that are a big factor in their offense. And, okay, how does that change how they want to operate? And, lots of respect for how they do it.
Interesting. I was once told about them, you really don't know how they're going to play until you see the inactive sometimes.
Right.
Is that fair with them?
I think that's fair to say.
Okay.
And, like most teams, they have a game plan they want to play for this team. They want to try to take away this player or play this style. Mm-hmm. That's not that unique.
Okay.
It's unique for them because of how well they do it.
What stands out about Brady to you? I mean, you've had to design defenses to go against this guy a few times. I mean, tell me what stands out about him that makes him who he is.
Well, the first one that stands out to me is going to be his toughness. And he will stare down the face of it and still throw it and get hit. And that jumps out to me. Number one, I think he is a terrific competitor. Two, I would say he has such awareness of what you're playing and where to go with it. So to me, those are the things, his smarts for where to go with the ball based on the coverage and his toughness.
A little bit like your QB, too. He'll throw it to anybody, won't he? Doesn't mind changing guys up.
The same toughness, but both these quarterbacks are really playing at a high level.
Boy, Matt ate a few helmets yesterday to get the ball out. You knew they were going to bring extra people, try to get to you with maybe a little bit more than you can block, but he stood in there and made some big-time throws.
And it's part of playing the position that you got to wait for that guy to come open. You got to wait, and you know you're going to get hit, and you don't flinch. And that's not an easy thing to do, but both these quarterbacks demonstrate that on a regular basis.
Well, good luck in all this. This is a long prep, needless to say. Two different versions of it, right?
That's correct.
This week and next week?
All we got to do is worry about today.
Well, let me tell you this. So we've had a chance to visit with you all season long. Yeah. You've been amazing. Appreciate you sharing with us, Q, can't pull for you enough. We're so excited for you and your team and what you've been able to build here. I think the fan base kind of showed you what they feel about you on Sunday.
Well, I appreciate that, and it's one of the highlights of my week, getting to hang out with you guys. So much respect to you.
All right.